Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day to you, all you beautiful people. Welcome to this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love devolve into potential BS. We are a species as humans. We are here on this earth for love. We're not here for lesser values. And lesser values do tend to find their way into our priorities when we fail to love. But love keeps us on a higher trajectory. Love keeps us at the true north of aiming for the beauty of life, the beauty of relationships, the beauty of living and breathing and eating and sleeping and working. Love is that beauty. Love is that magnetic power that lifts the human soul, lifts the human mind, lifts the human experience outside of all other miseries. Love. Love is all we need, is what one of the great songs of the 60s said, and I believe it. Love is all we need. And at the root of life, when we live that love, it lifts every project, every effort that we do. When love is at the center, it's the nuclear core of how we function. I'm personally convinced that all of the universe, all of creation, has been placed here, put here by love with a capital L. In fact, I'm trying to, at this stage in my life, I'm training myself to write love with a capital L every time I write it in a sentence or any kind of sentence, even if it's a note that I leave my wife or somebody. Love, I put in capital L because to me, love is the divine principle. Love is the divine root of creation. I believe 1 John, 2 John, 3 John in the New Testament teach us that God is love, and those who dwell in love dwell in God. God is love. When you roll that phrase around and you embrace it, meditate on it, really give it the full measure it deserves, you will understand that love is God and God is love. When we dwell in love, we come out of that love with God. When we dwell in God, we come out of that relationship with love. And as such, I am convinced that the whole universe has been set in motion. The entire cosmos has been made effective, and it rolls out at the speed of light in every direction. Quantum physics tells us that time is not a straight line, but time is running in all directions at the same time. Light is blowing out in every direction, and that light is God Himself. My personal conviction is that because the cosmos is put in motion by love, then everything that we connect to as human beings, anything that we put our hand to that is love, we are drawn by the power of the very universe we live in. We're drawn into, and the draft, as it were, in race car driving, a race car will pull up behind the person in front of them, and they get caught in the draft, and that draft helps save their fuel. The draft, if you're driving on the interstate, if you get behind a large truck or bus, and you let your car get close enough to be pulled by that draft, you can feel your vehicle being pulled along. Listen. Love is the draft of the universe. When you put your projects, your ambitions, your plans, your daily priorities into the power of love, then the draft, the light speed, 186,000 miles per second, the speed of light will pull your projects along. I believe there is a wild and raging love throughout all the universe. It is unrelenting. I believe it is unflinching. It is never pulled back by any failure of humankind. That this unrelenting, unflinching love is pressured by the entirety of the universe. This the universe's power of a creation that is happening right now. Scientists tell us that the universe is expanding, that creation is happening way out there at the boundaries of our ability to see. And that pressure of the universe is pressurized, I believe, by love, and it's blasting out there. You know, the Hubble telescope and other telescopes that have had such success in mapping the universe around us show us these flowering, this flowering fury of nebulae and stars being born. And oh my goodness, if you've never seen the pictures of the Hubble telescope, you owe it to yourself to look it up online or to get a book and to see these magnificent, colorful explosions of the universe. All of that is happening because love is moving at this pressurized power of the speed of light. And in that flowering fury of a trillion nebulae, I believe we human beings, we teeny little creatures here on this blue little planet, we humans wobbling around, toddling around in our small and human-sized faith, we humans, we're the specific object of this wonderful, wild, raging love that is God. We're the target of God's love. For God so loved. This is the aim of his love. Not just that he creates the universe out of love, but that in that love there is a revelation that it was all created by God's love for humans. God is that love with a capital L. And as surely as the sun will rise day by day, and has risen for thousands of years, this love cannot fail. This love that is aimed at we wobbling, toddling little human beings, this love cannot fail. It will not fail you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever station in life, whatever circumstance in life you find yourself, the love of God will not fail. It cannot fail. Because as surely as the universe is exploding at the speed of light, as surely as the sun rises every morning, so his love for us is new every day. This love is a power outside of all known powers on earth. So based on that, I'm waxing a little eloquent here as much as I can to convince you that we are in a lifetime project of the discovery of love. Love isn't supposed to be sitting on a shelf to dust off occasionally when we decide that we're going to get married or have children or we need love to get us through a specific corner in life. No. Love is life. Life is love. Life is to be lived by the tow, as I said earlier, the draft of love pulling us along to love life, to love people, to love the world, to love every tree. St. Francis of Assisi was known to, he'd talk to trees. He'd say, "Hello, Mrs. Tree. Hello, Mr. Tree." And he would preach to them the love of God and how the love of God created those trees to be magnificent. The trees of the field, Old Testament scripture says, clap their hands. There is such an imagery about all of life being carried along in the power of love. There's such a wonderful opportunity for us as we live our life to live it in the transcendent beauty of love and to not live it at the lower levels of a narcissistic, selfish expression. Narcissism. Some of you I know have heard that. Others of you hear it and maybe wonder, what in the world is narcissism? Well, narcissism is basically a psychological study of people who have become so enamored with themselves, they don't see life through any other lens, but through the lens of what serves them. How does all of this world serve me? Well, love breaks us out of that prison of narcissism. Love breaks us out of the I, me, me, me mentality into the us, the we, the world around me. Love pulls me out of my self-centered platter of how do I decorate me for the best advantage of me into the expansive imagination of how do I live a life that can be built outward for the benefit of others. My wife has developed three or four gardens in her front yard, and I often marvel at the beauty of it. And she's very picky about it, and she's sitting next to me, I'm sure, listening to this broadcast at some level out there, and she's looking at me like, yeah, but I want my gardens to be better, and I so appreciate that about her. But you know what? I've come to realize that she developed and nurtures those gardens not just for a self-serving purpose, but she has developed them so that everybody that drives by our home can look at the beautiful colors, can see the textures, can see the sculpted beauty of a simple garden that's out there with a few colors here and a few colors there. You know, even the expression of that is an expression of love. It puts a visual of the human endeavor in front of anybody looking, and it says, look what I love. And it's not just to serve me, but it's to serve your optic nerve so that your eyes can behold something pretty, something beautiful. I personally have a great admiration for automobiles. I always have been a car guy. I love older cars, but you know what? I love newer cars too. I've gone off and on through the years to the auto show in Minneapolis just to lay my eyes on those transportation marvels. And what I've discovered is that what I love will pull me out of me towards something that is imaginative, something that gives me color. It gives me sensory appreciation. It pulls my mind out of even serious troubles. What I love pulls me up and out. But if I'm narcissistic and I'm looking at things as if they should serve me in a better way toward making my life better, well, then I get depressed and I get weary. But when I look at things and I say, oh, that is so pleasing for not only my eye, but others as well. The sights and the smells of an auto show, the sights and the smells of a beautiful garden. Now you take it to anything else. I mean, it's a beautiful starry night. That's another one of my great loves. I thoroughly enjoy, since I live in the country and there's no light pollution where I live, or minimal light pollution where I live, there's nothing that stirs my soul so much as to step outside on an inky black night and to just look at those twinkling stars that I've looked at for coming up on 70 years in my life. Those stars have been there all this time, and I'd never get tired of looking outward at this magnificent display of the love of God. So this towering majesty that I'm calling love, with a capital L, this expansive explosion of God and His love is intended for us humans to benefit in a way that pulls us out of I, me, into us and we, to behold the beauty of something beyond myself, behold this, the significance of something other than what I'm looking at in the mirror. Hans Urs von Balthasar, a Catholic theologian, said once, "Lovers are the ones who know the most about God. We theologians must listen to the lovers." That's so beautiful, isn't it? It rolls right out of my mouth with such a, it's like eating a good steak. Lovers are the ones who know the most about God. The theologian must listen to the lovers. Hans Urs von Balthasar. That's a tough name to say, but his observation is a tough challenge, because the theologian is tempted to explain God into, as I, you know, have been saying here so often, down to the BS, down to the, you know, bait and switch and other issues that just make us think rather than feel. Lovers are the ones who know the most about God. Do you know that everything in life that is love has God somewhere at the basis of it? Did you know that every aspect of love is that which is wooing us away from our selfish pursuits and into an unselfish beauty in life? Everything that is love, if love is for a garden or a craft, or as I said earlier, the automobile, if love is simply for the woods and the trees and the lakes, the oceans, if our love finds an expression of seeing magnificence and recognizing that in that magnificence I'm called away from my puny little life into a larger life that builds me. It grows me outside of me. It grows me toward something that serves the greater good and not just me. And yeah, you get something out of it too. I get something out of it too. But I have to be pulled away from the addiction to myself, the addiction to needing this to serve me. But knowing that if I will love outside of myself, it will ultimately serve me best when I let it go toward all things around me. I know that as you listen today, you're each one of you on some level struggling with something that you don't love, someone you don't love, or something that isn't loving you back. I know that for a fact. I am. Every one of us are in this upward struggle about the challenge and the value of love. Every one of us are facing some need for love to become productive for our mind, our mental health, our physical health. I know that every one of us are fighting our own individualized, customized battle. Of late, I've had a few conversations with some spouses who are watching their spouse, their lifetime spouse, struggle with life and death health issues, and they're watching them fade away. And most likely, the issues of their spouse's health will take them from this life. And I know in these people there is this massive drain on their love that is being pulled into this life and death struggle. I want you to understand that to whatever degree your love or my love is challenged, to whatever degree love is beaten about the head and shoulders, whatever degree love finds itself being pushed down, to that same degree, times the size of the universe, to that same degree, love is pressurizing back toward you, and it will come back to reward you. It is not going to go away if you feel lost in the giving of love. Love is inexhaustible. Hear me carefully when I say that. And you know, I'm speaking as much to myself as I am to anybody else. Love is inexhaustible. It is transcending all quantities. There's not such a thing as a gallon of love on any given day. Love is the size of the universe. Remember the statement I made early. There is a wild and raging love, unrelenting, unflinching, and it is pressured by the entirety of the universe. And it's blasting with the flowering fury of a trillion nebulae, because love is God and God is love. So to that end, we need to understand that however challenged our love is, however exhausted our love may be, however drained love finds itself in giving and giving and giving, remember, there is an inexhaustible supply. You cannot outgive in love. Love will come back. It may take time. It may take years for it to be fully replenished, but it is pressurizing back toward you. There's a scientific principle that states that nature abhors a vacuum. So if you or I were able, by some scientific experiment, were to take some little canning jar, a little mason jar, and somehow we're able to suck all the oxygen, all the air out of that mason jar, and then put a lid on it fast. We need to see that nature hates that vacuum, meaning the pressure of all the atmosphere of the earth goes to war against that tiny little vacuum. That all of the pressure of the whole world really goes against it, and it seeks to crush that little mason jar. And it would crush that mason jar, because that mason jar is not designed to fight against all the pressure of the oxygen around it. I'm using that illustration to help you see that love is all the universe. And if there were some vacuum in our love, some loss where a vacuum is created, I want you to understand that the fragile nature of the container that love gets sucked out of, that fragile little flimsy barrier against the love of the universe, is going to collapse at some point. It's a matter of time. Nature abhors a vacuum. When a vacuum is created by absence, then nature goes to war to crush and to fill back up again with its flooded beauty. Love is the universe. It is all the universe. It is all the nebulae and a trillion of them that we haven't seen in all the universe about us. And when love is challenged, when love seems to be just sucked dry out of our life, and I understand where you're at, we also need to hold on tight and know that the vacuum of love is an invitation for the invasion of love. Love is God, and God is love, and God will, as surely as the sun will rise tomorrow morning, God will go to war against the vacuum to flood your life and my life with love again. Love again won't come just because somebody accidentally shows up in our life. Love again will come back to us because God is love, and love is God. Remember that when you, the next time loneliness feels like a humid day that you just cannot find any relief from the pain of that humidity. Remember that the next time you wonder if you'll ever be able to love again. You're the little mason jar, and all of God's love will finally break through and flood your heart. It'll flood your mind. His love will fill all that you are with so much more than you ever gave away. I know this to be true. I've seen it too many times to deny it. And I know in my own life, whenever I have felt that I've given it all away and I got nothing left to give, joy comes in the morning. The rising sun does come back, and God's love does fill wherever it is that I feel I've been emptied. Well, today's No BS Bishop has been a little bit more of a heart-to-heart thing, and I hope you've taken this to your heart. And I hope you know that as I close with this exercise of breathing, I know that I'm calling you to something that is existentially practical, but it is existentially enormously valuable for our life. So when you breathe in this time on this end of this broadcast, I want you to just pull in that the love of God that is in the universe. Just pull it all the way in, far as you can pull the love of God. And I when I tell you to breathe deep, I'm saying pull that air down to the bottom of your lungs. I want you to pull the love of God all the way to the bottom of your heart. On the count of three, one, two, three, breathe in the love of God. Hold it. Pull it in. Oh, and now exhale gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Do that repeatedly through the day. Make it a Sabbath in the middle of your day. You know, Sabbath is when we rest, even if it's for a moment or for a day. Sabbath is what you give your mind and your heart the opportunity to stop the worry, stop the fear, and stop the loneliness. and to be loved. Know this, that you are the object of the towering, unrelenting, unflinching beauty of the love of God. You are his true north. As love is the true north for us, the true north for God is his love for you. So as we go about this day, draw in the great love of God and exhale gratitude. And find somebody, look them square in the eye, make it weird if you will, and just give yourself the pleasure and somebody else the awkward moment, but also the pleasure of knowing somebody looked him right in the eye and said the three most charmed human words in existence. I love you. Do that for somebody today. And, you might even have to do it for yourself. Go to the mirror and just look in that mirror and tell yourself, I love you. Give somebody full eye contact, full heart-to-heart contact, and let's give somebody the beauty of the love of God. Do something beautiful today, because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. It's time for the speed of light, bringing the speed of love deep into our souls. God bless you. I'm Bishop Randy Dean with you today for this episode of Alive to Love, All Lesser Values Are Potential BS. God bless you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.